I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
Welcome back, Dr.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
It's good.
I'm excited for what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, we try not to shy away from the controversial, but sometimes we try to stay, you know, in line. But I think this is a topic that it's one of those topics that really ignites
people.
Yes.
Especially, our moms,
especially our mom population, and our parent population, because people feel very passionate about either side of the topic, which I actually completely understand.
I'm so neutral on this topic. I've tried both.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, yeah, we definitely need to talk about your experience. It's one of those hot topics that like pisses people off. I feel like it's like vaccines and circumcision. Like you cannot bring those up
without people getting pissed,
having a very strong opinion and not liking you either way.
It's like a decision where you lose friends. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say I'm actually like, I know a lot of people that have done this, but I feel like I was always closer with my friends that didn't, because that's what we chose to do. Because I think you have to like, you know, you kind of like side with your crowd because that's what makes you feel accepted. And you have people that you can talk to and relate to in the choices that you're making in your parenting style.
Yeah. So without further ado, what is it?
We're going to talk about sleep training today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's my 2 cents. It half worked with Eli. It doesn't do shit for Archie.
I thought with Eli, you told me you didn't like, you did it and then you stopped. You didn't really do it.
I did it. It worked. And then it didn't. He had 18 months and it was like, this is stupid. I'm so pregnant. I can do sleep training up until it's letting them scream and cry it out. I'm sorry. I can't. It goes right through me. It goes through me so bad that it makes me have to pee. And that's not like, that's not a joke.
It's not a joke. It's not funny. So let's talk about that, because there is a biological impulse in us to go to our children and our babies and our infants when they cry. And when they cry, it sets off an alarm in us, and it is very jarring. Now, I will say, I think the first time you have a child, it's worse.
So worse. Oh my God.
It's so much worse. By the time, once you're a seasoned parent, you're not really concerned about the crying or what people think about it or who it's disrupting. You're more concerned about just like soothing them and making you both feel better. So like, I remember with Bianca, I would be so stressed out if she was like freaking out in public. Whereas like the second time, I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, who cares? Yeah. My baby's crying and I'm going to calm him down and it's fine. Like, you know, I feel like there's a big difference. Now, babies and moms are dyads. They're meant to be connected. They're very much biologically in sync. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't really just apply to even breastfeeding. This applies to our attachment style from a biological perspective, which is human beings. You know, we're, you know, related to primates, you know, and that's the style of parenting, you know, that's always worked for us. Our babies are born way earlier than other species because they wouldn't fit through the birth canal, which a lot of people know. So they're born very, very premature as far as a developmental standpoint is concerned, right? Like their brain is so far from where it would be if they were, say, a goat or a sheep or, you know, like a horse. It's
not great. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they come out walking, you know, and sleeping. And like, they only need to like seals breastfeed for like a week or something, and then the mother leaves them. Like, it's just like so
It's not the same.
Right. It's not the same. So human babies are very dependent on us. And the one thing that's really interesting to me is that they're very dependent on us for co-regulation. So for calming them down, for calming, like for managing that stress response, for their anxiety, you know, them being with us regulates their body temperature. It regulates their heart rate, their breathing, you know, so many things. So before I had children, I used to think like, oh, well, if they don't sleep, I've always heard people say you just let them cry and then they fall asleep. And like, you know, that's what happens. After I had Bianca, the last thing I could ever do physically was like, let her cry. Right? Mm-hmm. Especially for a prolonged period of time, which a lot of times there's different methods of sleep training. You know, people have used different ones that are listening and you can look them up. There's so many of them, but a lot of them, you know, involve some type of crying it out or leaving your baby to cry, especially for an extended period of time. There's all different schools of thoughts on this. And there's people that think like, oh, well, if you're going in after a couple minutes, you know, and helping them, it's not, I actually think that's worse because you're going in and leaving and going in and there's like, yeah. it's confusing for everybody.
Let me ask you, what's your cutoff time?
We don't do it. I don't let my kids cry. My babies have always co-slept with me. I never have ever left either one of them to cry. I used to think that's what you did. And then when I had a baby and I saw what it was like, I'm like, I'm physically sick after like a minute or two of hearing her, like, you have to go. I had to go to her.
My cutoff is 7 minutes.
That's long when your baby's crying. Like, I've been on the phone sometimes and have had to like leave her when she was an infant. And like, it wasn't a phone call I could hang up and was like beside myself after like a couple minutes.
I'll take that back. It depends on the type of cry. If it's like, oh, like,
there's different types of cries. I will give you that.
If it's like whining, like, I can't believe you left me, but I'm so tired, I'm going to go to sleep. And like, I'll give him 7 minutes. If he's blood curdling, screaming, no, I can't do it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like the Ferber method or the Farber method. You know, a lot of theirs works in phases of crying it out. And there's one, the last step is extinction where you just leave them cry.
No.
And I know a lot of people who do this. I know parents who just turn off the monitor so they don't have to listen to it because how can you lay there and listen to it?
Hey, if you can do it, wow. Like,
yeah, like good. If you can do it and that's what you've chosen to do because you need sleep, and we can talk about this a little bit more. And we will, because like with Bianca, like, I mean, I was like a walking zombie for years. It was absolutely painful. And it affects your mental health, right? So there's a lot of research with sleep training that says like, it's so much better for the mother, her mental state, her physical well-being, her psychological well-being. Well, of fucking course, because you're getting sleep. Why wouldn't it be better for your mother? You know, I have mixed feelings about this because I do understand why people, and you do too, go down this route and why they even look into this and why they even start to do it. And there are people out there that make a lot of money. There's programs that make a lot of money because people are so desperate for sleep and how to get sleep with a baby that they'll pay and do pretty much anything.
And I really do feel like it comes back to that societal expectation of us having to work as well, right? Yeah. Because God, I will do anything to sleep at night because I have to work in the morning.
Well, or there's people whose job, I mean, if your job depends on you being alert, You're compromising the well-being, you know, of yourself and possibly patients, you know, like all, there's all types of sides to this, right?
Yeah.
But to me, it's, again, like you just said, it comes back to where we are in modern society and the expectation on mothers and new mothers and mothers within, like, I'm going to say the first 2 years at least.
Right. Right.
We're not set up to allow our babies to have what they biologically need. And we've been programmed to be terrified to let them sleep any way except on their back. Or, you know, we've talked about co-sleeping before on this podcast, and I'm a huge proponent of safe co-sleeping. I mean, if we think
by the morning every day,
it's how are we getting the most sleep? And a lot of times for parents and mothers, that is co-sleeping with their baby safely, because they've chosen not to sleep train, or maybe they've tried and it hasn't worked. And there's reasons why it doesn't work. Everybody has a different sleep style and personality, which I've also come to learn about. And that's something new that maybe we can get on topic in another podcast. But there's a lot of babies it just doesn't work for, or you have to keep doing it. And like, what's the point in that?
This has been our routine consistently for the last month. Archie goes to bed in his bed. In his crib, 1 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up to nurse. Eli senses a disturbance in the force, comes in my room to get Mike, goes back to his room with Mike. Mike falls asleep. At 3 o'clock in the morning, Archie wakes up, will not go back to sleep unless he's laying next to me.
Yeah.
I move everything out of Mike's side.
They want to be with their mom. They want to be biologically, they're hardwired to be with us.
As soon as he snuggles up next to me, out like a freaking light, and he sleeps until 7.
I think all the way back to, if we think back to different points in society, like when the cavemen were around, do you really think they were letting their babies scream in another area when predators and enemies would be able to find you with a screaming child while you're doing crying it out for 7 nights?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't be doing that, because they just nurse their babies and they nurse them to sleep and they lay next to them. And, you know, you have people on the other side of this saying like, oh, well, that's nice. That must be nice. But I have to go, you know, I have to get up for work, or I have to function, or that's not safe. Or, you know, you hear all other types of like arguments, which, I'm going to be honest, I know a lot of people that don't do cry it out that have all different types of jobs that let their babies sleep with them, you know, and they get the most time with their infants because that's when they get to cuddle up at night.
So you know what I was just told by somebody?
What?
I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I was nursing. I was so tired and I was nursing Archie and he fell asleep and I looked at him and he was safe. So I just fell asleep and they said famous last words. So let's talk about this.
Let's talk about this because I really get, I feel very passionate about this topic. And like, I get heated just hearing you say that, like somebody say that to you. Oh my God. First off, we need to address the fact that it is actually safer if you're breastfeeding to co-sleep. Part of the Safe Sleep 7 is that you need to be breastfeeding. If you're formula feeding or you're partially formula feeding, you have to be really careful if you're co-sleeping. So that's up to you if you decide to follow the other guidelines and you want to co-sleep. Because you and the infant are pretty much like you're working in sync. Mm-hmm. Like there's even research that shows that your breathing patterns are in sync and your sleep wakes, like, I mean, cause the baby can sense you waking. Mm-hmm. Mothers that breastfeed also kind of curve their body naturally around their infants, to create like a safe cocoon where they're not going to be like suffocated with pillows, and you shouldn't even really be using a pillow. And like kind of keep them in this, it's called the C hole, like make like a C with your body. And it's funny because when you sleep with your baby, you tend to kind of naturally do that and you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this is something that they've observed, you know, time and time again. So I would caution you with that, that one piece of it. It's totally up to you. I'm not promoting it, you know, either way. Like, that's up to the parents to decide. Like, but I know plenty of formula feeding families that co-sleep. So, I mean, I don't know. That's like up to you. But that's one of the Safe Sleep Seven. So I think we've talked about this on here before, but La Leche League has put out the Safe Sleep Seven, which are seven rules that you should follow. And as long as all of those are in line, they say that you could safely co-sleep with your infant baby. And look, once they're getting to like the point where they can roll over on their own and like move things, and when you're talking like an older baby, like the risk isn't as high, right, as when it's a younger baby for things like suffocation and gagging.
I'm just gonna say this. This was recent and Archie was 8 months old. And my initial thought was, would you not feel if you rolled over onto your cat?
Yeah.
Would you not feel if you rolled over onto your dog? My child is big. I'm not moving. I know where he is.
I'm
consciously aware of that child. Even when he's in his crib, I can hear and sense him moving around in that crib, let alone right next to me.
Well, and one of the other things, so the nursing is one of the components and one of the requirements. The sober parents is another one. Mm-hmm. And that means like no alcohol and mm-hmm. no medication that's going to make you drowsy, which I really hate to say this, but a lot of people use medication that makes them drowsy or are using sleeping aids. Mm-hmm. And like that's a no-no too. So, like, yeah, that's another thing that is concerning. No smoking. So you can't have a smoker as a parent. Like, you really shouldn't be smoking in the home, around the home or near the baby. So anything that's affecting, like, you know, the airway, like, super important. You want a healthy full-term infant. So we're not talking about preemies here, or maybe a baby, you know, that recently got out of the NICU. That's something like you would need to really like assess and talk with your healthcare provider about, as far as like how healthy they are and if that's even an option, you know. What are the other requirements? Baby on the back, no swaddle, which swaddles drive me nuts, by the way. No swaddles. I would go as far as it says no sweat. I would make sure the baby is a cool temperature. Like, you don't want a hat, like, you don't want them overheated. And then the last one is a safe surface. So what's recommended is a really firm mattress, you know, with a fitted top sheet. You don't want any pillows around or blankets or big comforters. So essentially, like, baby would be laying in their, you know, crib if they were on their back with nothing around. So that they're really the ways to safely co-sleep. You don't want any like gaps or parts of the bed that they can fall in or down. You know, you have to make sure you have like a good setup.
I literally said to Mike 2 days ago, I am about to buy a three-sided guard.
You should. I know.
Because he's crawling now.
Yeah. And it makes life so easier to not have to worry about that stuff. Like, I know with Bianca, we brought her home from the hospital and we laid her down in the pack and play thinking she would just like fall asleep in there. Mm-hmm. You know? Like she did at the hospital when she was swaddled. But she was mostly up that whole night at the hospital anyway.
Archie, he did not sleep really.
And after every 15 minutes, she would start crying. And I was like, Chris, what is this? And he's like, I have a feeling this is how people end up with their baby in bed with them. And there we were on our very first night. By like 4 o'clock in the morning, I was like, screw this shit. Yep. Like, she was in bed with us and she slept for like 3 or 4 hours. We all slept. We had to get up for a doctor's appointment that day. Like, I said we have to research like how like we can do this. Yep. Like safely, because I cannot live like this. Like, this is crazy. And you know, the going into the other room and the like sleeping on the baby's floor, and like people do all kinds of things to make it work.
Why we got bunk beds for Eli is because Mike was sleeping on the floor.
because you're exhausted. Like, how much sleep and how well are you really sleeping? You know what I mean? If you're doing that. So like, practitioners really have to like think about, you know.
Well, we talk about moms' mental health when it comes to breastfeeding and formula feeding and the sleeping or co-sleeping versus not and sleep training. And it's like, why is this not being acknowledged that this is good for mom's mental health? And why is it not being educated and explored upon?
Well, and the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine actually recommends safe co-sleeping for breastfeeding families.
But nobody talks about it. And it is so shame. Like, I remember being shamed in the hospital.
Oh, well, and so many pediatricians, because what they're afraid of is the baby suffocating or gagging or SIDS.
And they gave a bad recommendation.
Hmm?
And it being blamed on them.
And nobody wants to get sued either. So there's that piece of it. So, I mean, look, you have to do what works for your family, but I think these conversations are really important to have. And I'm not even going to get into the like SIDS thing, but there are so many other things that are related to SIDS that have absolutely freaking nothing to do with safe bed sharing.
Yep.
Okay. So if you want to keep blaming it on the bed sharing and not just give people the correct information on how to safely bed share and co-sleep, that's fine. The
reality is that we did this whole back to basics or back, what is it? What is back to what? Back is best. I don't know. Whatever it is. The campaign for back sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Sleeping on the back. Yeah.
That started in the 1980s and the SIDS rate has not changed. That's 40 years ago, and there has been no statistical evidence that suggests that back sleeping has changed.
Yeah, and you can go down the rabbit hole of investigating, you know, but other
reasons. Okay, like we're just gonna not acknowledge that 40 years of research has shown nothing for improving SIDS.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, you got to be careful with the covers, and you can't have baby falling between the wall and the bed and suffocating. And again, there's all of these like safe pieces that need to be taken into consideration. But I mean, the issue is whether you choose to co-sleep or not, completely up to you and whatever you can make work for you.
Whether or not for 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, whether or not you choose to do any type of sleep training or cry it out, I mean, it's also your personal choice, but I'm going to link some studies in the show notes. I'm going to link a really great article by like a Psychology Today author, and they have so many studies within there too that they link. But the reality is, any type of sleep training, you're just teaching the baby that you're not coming for them. They're having a stress response, and then they kind of just give up because nobody's responding to their need, which is they're crying because they're saying they need something. And there's actually research that shows that, I mean, their developing brains are so fragile and they're so small and they're creating neurons all the time. And crying it out causes very high levels of cortisol, and very high levels of cortisol kill neurons.
Mm-hmm.
It also creates anxiety. They see more anxiety in children that have had the cry it out method used on them as babies and infants and toddlers, like throughout life.
I've seen research that suggested that kids that like co-sleep for as long as they want to have less attachment issues.
Yep. And they're way more independent. And I mean, I can see that in my own kids. Like, I used to think, like, and taking, like, a child psychology course, you learn about, like, different types of, like, attachment styles and, like, safe and healthy attachments. And it's really important. I don't think people realize the magnitude of what they're doing with their children and the effect that they're creating and the type of person they're creating for the rest of their lives. And if you want independent, secure children, the best thing you can do is
to give them security.
I hate to love them, to attachment style parent. Like, I don't know how else to say it. And I understand, like, that doesn't mean you can't be a working mom or a working dad. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean you can't not be with them for a certain amount of time today. It just means when you are with them, the attachment style needs to be one that, you know, it works for them. And most children need to be, especially babies, they need to be attached to the caregiver, particularly the mother.
I mean, honestly, as a mom, there's no better feeling than to walk in the room with, like, Archer, and he sees me, and it's like the entire world stops for him. And that's, maybe that's selfish of me, I don't know, maybe I'm just attached to my baby, but, like, there's real research that shows that, like, babies and moms, like, babies just think of their moms as themselves.
Yeah, there's not a separation, like, of self until they're,
until, like 18 months.
I think it's earlier. I think it's more like, I forget, 3 to 6. I got to look it up again. But it's sooner than that, but they don't realize they're a separate entity.
Yeah. Just, that's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. I mean, what has your, like, so you tried to sleep train with Eli and it didn't work.
It didn't work until, it worked until, well, no, it didn't. Not really. Cause, like, he co-slept with us. It was like half sleep training, half not. It was like our own, it was what worked for us. Like, we
thought it was what you could do. There's also a lot of research that says that the sleep study, like the research on sleep training is very flawed, and it presents it in a positive light and says that it works. But a lot of the issue is that parents weren't following protocols 100%. Like, you're like, people, like, well, and you know, also
Amber did all the courses for sleep training until Bella hit this regression. When was it? It was like a 2-year sleep regression. She just turned 3 and whatever. But as soon as she hit this one major regression, it didn't matter. And Amber's a single parent. She works full time and she coaches soccer. She hit that regression and she's like, I can't do this anymore. I have to sleep. And Bella's been sleeping in her bed at night ever since. And she's getting the best sleep she's ever got since Bella's been born. Yeah. She's like, I don't know why. I don't know why I spent all that time, like, trying to fight this whenever she just feels safe with me.
It's hard because you're told it's the wrong thing to do. Or maybe you feel, some people say they can't sleep because they need to do things that interfere with their children being able to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, my sister had a really hard time with, she did, her, both her kids are, like, very different. Like, Izzy, my niece, she was in her own room at, like, 2 weeks old. She was formula fed from the beginning, so it was a little bit different. She just went to bed and would just, like, be fine.
Yeah, they're all different. And they all have different sleep, again, like, styles of sleep.
Like, Chelsea didn't, like, it's not like she did the cry it out method either. Like, she would just put Izzy down and Izzy would go to sleep.
Yep. Some babies sleep really well from the beginning or from a few weeks or from a few months. And that's awesome. That's awesome too.
She's like, she's very independent. Like, Izzy would just, like, go up for a nap and just, like, sing to herself in her crib and just, like, fall asleep and, like, didn't care. She just wanted to be by herself.
I think you brought up a good point earlier too, and a lot of this has to do with people not having the support that they need or being able to function in a society that doesn't really support being able to parent. I mean, let's be real, everybody wants to be a great parent, everyone wants to attach to a parent during the day, but when it comes to the night, it's fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the God's honest truth. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, like, it's a 24/7 gig. And, like, when we say that to parents, we're undermining what their reality is, which is that they need sleep and they're tired.
That's such a powerful statement though, because, like, I feel like we look at all these things online and it's like, do this to be a great parent. Do this to be a great parent. Do this to be a great parent. Oh, it's time for bed. Let them cry.
Like, I can't do it, or I need sleep. Well, no crap. We all need sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of my biggest pet peeves is when parents say to parents that don't sleep train, I could never do that. I need sleep. Really? You think I want to get up every 15 minutes? You think I want to be up every hour? Because there are definitely regressions.
I also do this.
You know, it was that bad. So yeah. it's not fair to say that either. Nobody functions better off of, nobody deserves that little sleep, right? Like hard. And I think we all need to respect each other's hard. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it comes down to respecting choices. So if you choose to sleep train, that's your choice. I do think you need to be aware of the, you know, negative ramifications. Yeah. And if you choose to co-sleep or you don't, that's also your choice. And there's ways to do that and ways not to do it. So it's hard. I think this is one of the toughest topics, one of the toughest topics when it comes to parenting.
Yeah.
And you just have to respect people's choices.
I think, so this is totally off topic, but I listened to a podcast about, like, I told you about this husband and wife that's been studying love for, like, the last 40 years, and really interesting stuff. I can link it was a podcast from Diary of a CEO. We can link
it. Oh, I love him so much.
Yes, he did a great interview with these two psychologists, and they just wrote a book called Fight Right, and he was like, why would you want to write a book like that? And they were like, if you look at what's going on in America, no one can have a civil conversation of very conflicting views, and it's because we all just think we're entitled to our opinion and to shout it from the rooftops, but it's like,
we all have social media accounts and I'm serious. A lot of it comes down. We've lost a lot of ethics in our society because of social media. Yeah. And I understand that it's great. And I love it for the connection and it's great to get the info out there, but it gives everybody a megaphone and it gives everybody a megaphone to silence people that have different opinions than them.
But I think it comes back to, like, what we always talk about. It's like, do your own research, and if you're comfortable with what you're doing, and there's stuff that, like, back, like this Sleep Safe 7.
Yeah.
Be confident in that you're doing what's best for you.
Right. And I will say, you know, if you're concerned about things like SIDS, you really need to go down the rabbit hole of research, because there are several other things that contribute to that. Some of it being improper breathing, you know, sleep apnea, some of it having to do, you know, with injectables. So you can do your own research on all of that. Yes. But I think that the medical community needs to stop blaming or being concerned about telling people not to sleep train and educating them on proper ways to do whatever it is that they're choosing to do with their own children.
Or start acknowledging and researching the real causes here. So,
yeah. So we'll link
some, I gotta say about that.
We'll link some articles and info in the show notes. And, you know, as always, you do you.
Get enough sleep. Get the sleep you deserve.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. If you got little kids, you're not gonna be sleeping for a couple of years. I'm sorry.
I'm like, it's 8:30. I am so tired. It's time to go to bed.
It's gonna get better. I know it gets better because I have one that's a lot older.
Well, I get in there and I'm like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. What the hell happened the last hour and a half? Oh, I read a book. Oh, it's time to nurse again. Here we go. Every 3 hours. And it just is. But I look at that little face and he makes his little noises and I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's not forever.
Do you ever feel like so I feel like I have a day shift and then I feel like I have like the after school dinner time, like to bedtime is another shift. Mm-hmm. And then you're so exhausted, especially when you're like, you have really little ones. And like, I've had Jude for the past 2.5 years. So it wasn't always like this before him. It's a lot easier. I just went backwards. But I always say to Chris, yeah, about to start my night shift.
Yeah.
Now I'm hitting on round 3.
Yeah. Hours.
Yeah. And I will be honest, he is 2.5 now, and he finally started sleeping better within the past like 1 to 2 months. So we have a lot of nights where he's sleeping through, and then we have some nights where he might just wake for just a little, like one or like maybe two times. Like
Eli put cycles with the moon. Eli cycles with the moon. I need to track his sleep cycle with the moon. But can I, well, do you want to close this episode with a creepy story?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so Eli comes in her room the other night, and he goes, he, like, didn't say a word. And he never really wants me to pick him up at night. He only really wants his dad. So I pick him up, doesn't say a word, lays in bed. And I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be easy. 5 minutes later, I could feel like he was not asleep. So I look at him. His eyes are wide open, staring at the ceiling.
Yeah, I get like that around the full moon, too.
And I was like, hey, buddy, do you need to go potty? Because, like, he's potty trained, and he doesn't pee his bed at night, so we just take him to the potty. Took him to the potty, which is right by his bedroom. And he looks at me, and he whispers, and he says, there's nobody in there. And I said, what?
He goes, like, thank God.
He goes, there's nobody in there. And I said, okay, well, I hope not, because you're in here. So there should not be anyone in your room. And he's getting confused with like full and empty and like in and out. So like the opposite. So I'm like, is he telling me that there is somebody in there? So I was like, do you want me to check your room? He goes, uh-huh.
Oh,
okay. And so we like check his room. I check behind the door. I'm like, I don't see anyone in here either, buddy. Do you want to sleep in your bed? He goes, oh, no. And I said, okay. I said, you want to sleep in mommy's bed? Mm-hmm. And I was like, aww. Okay. There's nobody in there. I'm like, oh, my God. Kids are creepy.
I know. They are.
Yeah, they are. Anyways, that's all I got.
All right. Well, until we meet again, this was fun.
Next time we meet, we're going to be interviewing a really cool guest. And oh. I'm super excited.
Yes, I know. I know what you're talking about. Who you're talking about. I am excited.
I'm excited too. And we'll announce it.
All right, later. Cool.
All right.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Val or I, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.